Many years ago, I came across the story in the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle about a bishop in the Greek Orthodox Church visiting one of the Greek Orthodox churches here in Rochester, the Church of the Annunciation. And the article talked about how on a Sunday when Nicholas Passari was only 4 years old, he stared at the Eucharist in the front of the sanctuary, and he felt a powerful wave of emotion come over him that he couldn't fully understand. And yet after the service, he went to his parents, and he informed his parents that he was going to become a priest. Now, four-year-olds say a lot of things. They're going to be a fireman, they're going to be a cowboy, they're going to be a ballet dancer, they're going to be a doctor or a nurse, and sometimes those things come true, but a lot of times what a four-year-old says they want to do is just kind of a passing fancy. And Nicholas's parents thought that this was just a stage he was going through, that it would fade as he got older, but it didn't. And as he grew, he responded to that inner sense of God calling him to be a pastor. And became a pastor, and eventually, at a fairly young age, a bishop in the Greek Orthodox Church. It's a fact that God calls some people to a special ministry in the church. I don't like to be called a minister because we are all called to do ministry. I don't like to have my role referred to as full-time Christian service because we're all called to serve God full-time. I shared that once with somebody and they said, yeah, but not everybody gets paid for it. That is true. But the truth remains that some of us, myself, your former pastors, Dan and Matt and Matthew, for Bishop Nicholas and for a whole bunch of other people, that call, that gracious imperative to come and follow Jesus means to be in full-time paid Christian service. Sometimes God speaks loud and clear, as if he were to hit somebody with a 2x4 across the head to get their attention. And other times, as I shared with Teddy, sometimes God speaks in a soft whisper. But it is a call, a gracious call, that some hear and follow and still others resist. I first heard that call when I was 14. I can't say that I had a monumental call experience. I did not hear God's voice speak audibly to me. I wasn't even sure when I first thought I was being called that I was actually being called. My call started more with an inner impression, an inner sense that God wanted me to serve God in that role that we call pastor. I had been raised in the church my whole life and always seemed to have an interest in serving God. And I guess other people had seen that. In Boy Scouts, I was elected as troop chaplain, which really didn't mean much except at summer camp, I represented our troop in the camp-wide worship service. When I was 14, my parents had moved from one church to another. And after just a few weeks at the other church, I was invited to go on a winter youth retreat with the youth of the new congregation we were attending. They were leaving in less than a week, but it worked out that I was able to go. And at that retreat on February 9th, 1980, I know because I wrote it in the front of a Bible that I was using, I went forward at the invitation of a speaker to commit myself fully and totally to the Lord. Now, looking back, that might have really been more of a monumental call. But I didn't interpret it that way at the time. I didn't think about it. Then I was told to think of it as my conversion experience, my born-again experience. But as I've grown older, I realized I was a Christian long before that. But something happened in those moments. It was shortly after that time that I began to feel a sense of call to be a pastor. And so somehow that event and my call must have been related. And whether it was what someone wants to call a conversion experience or getting saved, I tend to think of it as just another giant step in the journey that led me from being a small boy in Sunday school in a Baptist church in Flemington, New Jersey, to standing before you today as a pastor. I didn't know quite what to do with this sense of call, and so I began sharing my sense with my youth pastor and with my parents. I began talking to other pastors, and I began praying about it, mostly wanting to get confirmation, mostly looking for signs that my inner impression was not just me wanting to serve God, but that it was somehow God instilling in me a desire to serve Him as a pastor. God answered my prayer many times during the next few years. Several little incidents that I took to be confirmation of my call to full-time ministry. One particular that I want to share with you is I was singing with the youth choir from the church that we were attending. The choir was called Sunlight, and it was a group of about 20 youth, and we would practice all year, and every summer we would take a 10-day to 2-week trip somewhere around the country, singing in other churches, singing in camps in the summer, sometimes singing at campsites for morning worship services. And we were singing at this one particular church on one particular evening. And after we got done with the concert, a lady made a beeline for me. And as she approached me, she got up to me, and the first words out of her mouth were, "Are you going to be a pastor?" Now, I hadn't shared anything during the concert in the way of a testimony. I hadn't shared with anybody in the church that I was wondering if I was being called to be a pastor. So I asked her what prompted her to think that I might be called to be a pastor. And she said, "Well, I was watching you throughout the concert, and I just thought you looked like someone who would make a good pastor." Now, I know a lot of pastors, and I'm not sure looking like a pastor is necessarily a compliment. But I took it as a sign of God confirming His call upon my life. Now, maybe it was a coincidence. Maybe it was me reading into what she said, what I wanted to hear, because I wanted to be a pastor. And so, of course, I was looking for confirmations. We all do that sometimes. We look for the answers we want, right? We hear what we want people to say. But I took that quote-unquote coincidence to be a sign of God's call upon my life. And so when I graduated from high school in 1983, I went to Houghton College fully prepared to get trained and to go into some form of pastoral ministry. Maybe youth ministry, maybe Christian education, maybe being the pastor of a church. And 11 years after I first went to Houghton College, I entered seminary in response to that call. Now the story of why it took me 11 years to get from graduating high school to being a pastor or to being in seminary is a long story, and one that I don't have time to share all the details of this morning. But there were times when I just wasn't ready to be a pastor. There were times when my lifestyle was such that there was no way I could have entered into pastoral ministry without making some major changes in my life. As one person commented in a coffee hour in between, "It sounded like you just spent some time sowing your wild oats." And I said, "Yeah, I guess that's how you could put it." They also said that if they shared that with most young people today, they'd have no idea what sowing your wild oats meant. But most of you know what I mean. And those that don't can ask their parents after the service. But I also think that besides not living a life that was appropriate for being a pastor, part of what was behind my delay in following God's call was the idea that I could never be holy enough or spiritual enough. I can never be mature enough or educated enough or able enough to be a pastor. They were feelings of inadequacy, that somehow I wouldn't be able to do it. I think all of us who have felt any kind of a call to ministry at some point have felt inadequate to fulfill the role that God is calling us to do. And you and I aren't the only ones. Isaiah felt inadequate. Go read Isaiah 6. Jeremiah found himself in the same situation. We heard that in the text this morning. And I can only imagine Peter, James, and John, Jesus coming to them after a poor night of fishing and saying, "Follow me, I'm going to make you fish for people." I can only imagine them thinking to themselves, if not saying to each other, "This is going to be good. We can't even catch fish. How are we going to catch people?" And yet Isaiah and Jeremiah and Peter, James and John and a whole host of people who have come before us have responded to God's call upon them, their lives, in spite of feeling inadequate. For anyone feeling incapable or inadequate to fulfill God's call upon them lives, their lives, and whatever God may be calling you to do, God's response to Jeremiah was a beautiful thing. In responding to Jeremiah, God tells us that he empowers those who he calls, that he will give you what you need to fulfill his call upon your life. I think sometimes when we imagine God calling us, I think we kind of think it's maybe like how we choose up teams on the playground in school. Kind of a random, there's some reasons you might choose people for first or last, but kind of a more random, okay, I'll take you, you, and you. You come with me. You do this. You, you, and you, you go over there and do that. But in God's response to Jeremiah, God doesn't just ask for volunteers. He doesn't just ask for a show of hands who's willing to serve. He didn't just randomly pick Jeremiah out of a crowd. Before I formed you in the womb, God said, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart. To someone feeling inadequate, those are beautiful words. To know that when God calls us to do something, it's not just a random whim, but there's a wisdom, there's a plan, there's a purpose for God choosing you specifically to do what it is you are being called to do. You may not have any clue why God's calling you to do that task. You may feel like God's making a huge mistake. But God calls us to do things for a reason. It's important to be reminded that God empowers those that he calls. To know that God chose you and created you for a special role in his kingdom. There's an old religious saying that I've heard. It's probably been changed many times, but I always heard it as God don't make junk. And sometimes we forget that. No matter how inadequate we feel, God doesn't make junk. God is able to use us. Sometimes that's hard for us to realize. It's hard for us to see ourselves fulfilling a certain role. Sometimes it's hard for other people to see us fulfilling a role. I was told that shortly after I went to seminary, at the alumni weekend at Houghton College that fall, I was the source of a lot of laughter. When people heard that I had gone to seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky. Because most of those people knew me from my college days. Most of them knew me when I wasn't fit to be a pastor. Well, there's times I can tell you even now when I think about God choosing me to be a pastor that I laugh at that notion. I laugh at the prospects of God using me to lead a congregation, to preach his word, to serve the sacraments. Some of you may have already wondered what God was up to when he called me and brought me here. There have been times when I have said, God, I can't do this. I'm not able. I don't know how to counsel or preach or lead or show compassion. I don't know how to tolerate those parishioners who are a pain in the rump. Some of you may not ever have learned how to tolerate pastors who are the same. I think sometimes all of our inadequacy, and I think this was true for Jeremiah too, was behind our feelings of inadequacy is our fears of failing. I think Jeremiah was afraid of failing when he said, Lord, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a kid. And God answered Jeremiah's fear of failure by saying, just do what I tell you to do. Don't be afraid. It's going to be fine. Don't be afraid of failing because I will be with you. I will empower you. I will give you the words as a prophet that you need to say. When we're afraid of failing, I think God also says to us, you know that that's just an excuse, right? Sometimes God's brutally honest with us. And God overcomes our excuse with his presence, with his grace. Notice I don't read what he said to Jeremiah is, you won't fail. You won't be super successful all the time. You won't ever encounter hardship. But what I hear God saying to Jeremiah is, don't worry about the failures. Because when you fail, I will be there with you to pick you up and to keep going. There have been many times in my life when I have felt afraid and inadequate. And I'm not sure that's a bad thing. Because through our failures in serving God, through our inadequacies as we seek to fulfill whatever call God has on our life, it's through those times that we learn to trust in God, that we learn to really realize that we can't respond to God's call on our own, that we need God's help. One of the most moving parts of this story is when God reaches out and touches Jeremiah's mouth and says to Jeremiah, "Now I have put my words in your mouth." I don't know if you've ever been to a service of ordination, but it's an incredibly powerful time, not only for the person being ordained, but for those there to watch the bishop lay hands on the head of the person being ordained and say, "Take thou authority." There's something powerful about the church representing God's call upon someone's life and God reaching down and touching someone and empowering them to do what they're called to do. In some churches, and I've done it from time to time, I have to admit I've been lax and not doing it nearly as often as we should. But maybe it's a good idea that at the beginning of a new year, when we have a new slate of officers coming into service, that we gather them at the front and we gather around them and lay hands on them and ask God to empower them for the work that God has called them to do. Maybe we should gather our preschool staff, our Sunday school staff, anybody that does anything in this church, and lay our hands on them and ask for God to empower them to do what God is calling them to do. Because let's face it, feelings of inadequacy and fear of failure are just that, an excuse. See, we have this wonderful thing called grace. I've had people say to me when I've asked them, "Well, I'm not sure I'd be any good." I said, "That's okay. Most of us aren't really good at what we do." But that's what God's grace is all about. God's grace not only to cover our mistakes and forgive us for our failures, but God's grace that lifts us up and strengthens us and helps us grow. The truth is, all of us are inadequate to serve God. But everyone that God calls, he gives the power to fulfill that call. Maybe there's someone here this morning that is wondering if they're being called to be a minister or a missionary or to go into church work of some kind. Some of you might be thinking, "I'm too old for that. I've known some people older than me," that's all I'm going to say, "who have felt God's call upon their lives, calls to enter the mission field or to enter the ministry of some sort." But maybe it's not to something as drastic as being a pastor or a missionary. But I pray that each of you will hear God's call upon your life to serve him in whatever way God is calling you. And I want you to know that as you hear that call, maybe it's something you're already doing, maybe God is leading you to something new. But as you hear that call, to know that those who God calls, he also empowers. That he's going to be with you to lead you and strengthen you. And if you fail, you're just going to join a long line of faithful Christians who have failed in serving God, but who have kept serving and kept going and kept trusting that somehow through their offerings, God does something great. Let it be so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.